a raucous closing bell on Wall Street yesterday. That's a sound full of short-term worry and terror. You can hear it in the background behind the bells. And all kinds of anxiety about tomorrow. And tomorrow's about 3 hours away for Wall Street. But this is the sound of something quite different. Quiet, measured. We're in a room in Lower Manhattan, a room of young faces, college students and interns and entrepreneurs with their whole lives ahead of them, who care nothing for the day-to-day fluctuations of the markets and are all about the long-term game of turning new ideas into new businesses and new jobs.
I mean, I'm still a college student, but I still have ideas on the way. I'm going to see where it takes me, though.
That's young Carol interning for a company so young they don't want us to even say its name this morning on the air. We're in what's called a job incubator, part of the Polytechnic Institute of New York University. The incubator assists young people with ideas like this fellow, Mike Aiello, founder of the online startup Life Insured.
We deal with everybody's accounts when they pass away, so you can register beforehand, and what we do is we let you designate what you'd like to have happen, like designate things to go to Creative Commons, donate them, go to your family, close them down, have them deleted.
And you'll go public when?
We have a long way to go before we go public.
In fact, he only has one intern, not even an employee yet. But Andres Blank has some employees. He founded a company called Pixabl.
What we do is your friends are sharing thousands of photos on Facebook, on Twitter, on Flickr every day. We aggregate them all, and then we actually use technology and algorithm to figure out which ones you would actually like to see.
Ideas become companies. Companies become job creators. So far, the Polytechnic Incubator has created 350 jobs, and that's a small number compared to the 14 million unemployed, or the numbers we're going to see later this morning. The unemployment data may show we've added roughly 90,000 jobs in the past month, which leaves the unemployment rate virtually unchanged. But job creation is sort of one job at a time, and on a day of extreme market anxiety and serious worries about unemployment, joining us this morning is Jerry Holton, president of the Polytechnic Institute of New York University and former Undersecretary of the Navy, who is in part responsible for this job incubator. First of all, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, John.
What a fascinating idea. You're creating jobs over there.
The exciting thing is that universities are a key part of the process. Give young people the chance to invent, innovate, be entrepreneurs, and they step right up. And we've seen it in every student we've brought into our university.
And basically, you're connecting companies with talented students at your university, letting them create companies, and lo and behold, there are jobs being created.
That's not only connecting our students to companies that others have formed, but telling our students we'll help you form your own companies, or tell a faculty member, take 2 years off and create a company with some of your students. And that's exactly what they've done.
Let's listen to your director of operations over there at the Job Incubator, Micah Koch. He describes himself as a recovering entrepreneur. But what does he say about job creation?
This is job creation in the 21st century. This is what it looks like. You know, every big company started out at some point as a small company. And I think that the right policies can, in fact, create an environment where startups can flourish. And I think that it's places like this where companies can collaborate and grow together and leverage each other's strengths, which has a multiplier effect on startups.
Can you grow what we think of as more serendipity? Zuckerberg comes out of nowhere. He wasn't actually created in an incubator, that sort of thing.
Right. Actually, back at the universities where the real action is, for instance, every freshman that comes to Polytechnic is in part of a freshman forum where we bring in inventors and Nobel laureates and journalists that talk about innovation and get them to see how it works firsthand. Then we have them invent things, have contests. We give them prizes, $5,000 if they win. Then we say, if you got a really good idea, now you head to the incubator and start to do it. So it's a full process of letting them get the tools. The ideas are in their heads. They need the tools to express them. And it's both back at the school and at the incubator.
Is the U.S. economy prepared for these ideas becoming companies and then becoming jobs that actually don't only employ high-tech people but actually will employ people that can make a middle-class living, that sort of thing?
There are some that do. If you think of like new inventions in the healthcare field, medical devices, a good bit of those devices need precision manufacturing, which America is still very good at. We do a good bit of that here. If you're talking about mass manufacturing, they'll probably go around the globe. Lots of the small things that relate to these new products, we can do just as well here as export them to China to bring them back.
tech is part of the golden sort of lining of the U.S. economy, but it's also part of the problem in distributing jobs. Describe how that works.
Well, it certainly is. If you look at the data, 10 years ago, small companies, when they were formed, had as an average 7.5 employees. Today, small companies, when they form, have 5. The difference is what technology can do. For instance, we have a company in the incubator, CB Insights. What they do is they collect data on new ventures. Well, that data collection used to be an employee in a new company. Boss says, find out what's going on in America and tell me what's happening. Now the boss says, CB Insight, tell me what's happening. It happens in a flash. One job gone, a great efficiency, a great new company. That's the tension going on in America right now. Technology creating new opportunity, but also consuming jobs because it's so good at doing things.
Can we outstrip the job consumption by automation and get to the creation of wealth and prosperity?
I think we actually have seen it happen twice in America already. Agriculture is number one. From almost all of employees in America being agriculture workers to 2%. Auto industry is moving the same direction. Robots took over in the 50s. Now we're looking at cars with chips. Those chips are not made by people. They're made by machines. So many things move towards automated, high-tech, smart production methods. The question really is, how are we going to create jobs for people? Things like the entertainment industry, gaming, things that take people into new directions. Because if we stay in the old fields, agriculture, automobile manufacturing, it's a dead-end street.
So on a day of such pessimism on Wall Street, and we're likely to get a sobering report on employment today, convince me you're an optimist.
I'm an optimist because people are so smart. Young people have such ambition. And as this tension builds, it actually pulls and expresses more energy and more drive to create something. So that's my hope. But it needs a lot of universities to step up the same place we stepped up.
And 350 jobs created so far in the incubator. How many companies are involved?
There's about 35 companies in that incubator. And every time one graduates, there's 10 in line to join.
No kidding.
Yes.
At your university.
Yes.
And this is a replicatable model?
I think it's replicatable across the country.
Job Creation Incubator. You can find it right here in Lower Manhattan and a template possibly for the U.S. economy. Jerry Holton, president of Polytechnic Institute of New York University, former undersecretary of the Navy from 1997 to 2000, responsible for that job incubator that we've been talking about. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, John, for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.